I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, Gina.
Hi, Ione. Hi, everyone. I'm Gina, the senior editor of Polyester.
And I'm Ione, the founding editor-in-chief of Polyester. And this is the Polyester Podcast, a feminist pop culture podcast dissecting the discourse on a weekly basis.
Before we start, if you're a fan of this podcast, please make sure to like, rate, and subscribe. And if you really love us, you can sign up for a podcast membership or you join our WhatsApp and get on our Instagram close friends for only £3 a month. Do we have any reviews, Ione?
We do. 5 stars feels like chatting with mates. I first heard about polyester during my undergrad in creative writing 10 years ago. And I've just got back into listening to their podcasts in the last week. Adore hearing about dupe Stanley Cups and how we don't know what Taylor Swift's favourite food is. That is by CCBB via Apple Podcasts in Australia, which is very, very kind. Thank you.
Crazy considering we're only 16.
Yeah, well, the rumours are true. Polyester is 10 years old in the autumn. Oh, 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 oh. If any brand girlies are listening, yeah, and want to help us celebrate,
I'm going to do a big summer or nothing. Not nothing. Summer or something.
Yeah.
What are we talking about today, Ione?
Oh.
Sums it up, doesn't it?
Today we are talking about health and how basically like the infiltration of pseudoscience is pushing an individualist agenda of health and is going to ruin all of our lives.
Yeah, it's just going to leave us all fending for ourselves.
So
in the mud.
How I started with getting this idea, and also shout out to Seaham, who did the research for this episode.
Seaham is our fellow.
Our new fellow.
Woohoo!
Was I have been seeing a lot on collagen banking on Twitter, particularly by Jessica DeFino, who I know runs a successful beauty Substack, but we're going to come back to this later because like researching or thinking of that kind of presented a bigger issue, I would say, which are blood glucose monitors, the Zoe app, and I mean, I think it also all comes back to Ozempic in one way or another.
Yeah, we're all like, everything's just fried at the minute in regards to like what health is deemed as in society, I suppose.
That was a weird sentence.
I know, I said that really
weird. What
health is? Society. It's like what's considered health or healthy, I suppose. Even just the word health, like that's so broad. But then people use it in such like a specific way.
I think just health as a capitalist plight is disgusting, and Zoe app is kind of like the accumulation, although it's definitely just the beginning, but it's kind of just like the defining kind of object that really proves how fucked up we all are at the moment. So Zoe, I don't know if they have it in America actually, but I assume they do.
Oh, they'll have something worse. Something much, much darker.
America's usually like 10 years ahead of us in stuff like this. So Zoe is a privatized like company that was originally a symptom tracking app for COVID, which is its own like dark origin story. Like something that was used to symptom track for public health has been turned into like a privatized personalized nutrition app, also currently the world's largest nutrition study. So basically what it is it's one of those glucose monitors that you place into your arm. They're like little needles and you've probably seen them. They're like round and you usually put a sticker over them or whatever. People have very like just reasons. People who have diabetes need them because they need to monitor their blood glucose levels.
Yeah.
But these have become like popular with every woman.
Yeah, it's because if you're diabetic, your glucose levels are like unregulated, like your body isn't regulating them in the same way that like someone who isn't diabetic has it naturally regulated. So when someone who does have it, like the insulin, the body's producing insulin, which regulates it. If your body's already producing that, you don't really need to track it because you're just going to like wind yourself up over like minute changes in your day.
So this is then linked to an app that, as Gina said, like kind of every time you eat, it can show you how your blood glucose level is reacting to that food, which I feel like I have no lens to see this through, but pure health. Like, I don't understand how anyone can like hear that and think, oh, it's great. You might have also seen, because they're pushing ads out literally everywhere, they make you eat like a horrible blue cookie. Have you seen this?
No.
So all the ads are like, waffle. Oh, look at this blue cookie. I'm not even joking.
Sorry.
It's like really big. It's like a palm, like a whole hand. Yeah. It's like a giant cookie and it looks disgusting. And it's like, I'm going to eat my cookie, because then apparently if you eat the cookie and then you have to give them a stool sample and a blood test, and it shows how like different foods react or whatever.
Sorry, but the people doing this are the same people who wouldn't track the period in a period app because they're like, they're going to sell the data.
Yes, I agree that you shouldn't track the period in a period app because they will sell the data.
They're going to sell the data of your shit more than they're going to sell the data of your
well, blog. Both. Yeah, absolutely. Both. Please don't use period tracking apps.
No, don't use any of it. Stop giving them what
your data will be sold to fuel anti-abortion bans and maybe used against you one day.
It's probably going to be used in like health, what's it called, like discrimination, all this like information.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's strange that we're so like seemingly up on data when it comes to like Instagram, or like not showing your kid on social media or like something like that, but something that's so personal, which is literally how our body processes food, which is the one thing a human is like made to do. It is.
What about love? No, yeah, I agree with her.
You're just happy to give that information away to someone
in such anyway intricate detail as well.
Yes. So this has been kind of like toted as something that puts you in control of your health, will stop you getting unwell, will show you how different microbes react in your gut. And also, like, microbes are a very new scientific thing. Like, not everyone knows. There isn't a consensus on how microbes work. So, anyway, we have two articles in our research. One is from Refinery29, which is a positive perspective, and that's by Vicky Spratt. And one is on Dazed by Serena Smith, and it's critical perspective. Zoe is a status symbol. But even so, Serena's piece says, on the surface, it sounds like a balm against years of diet culture, which encouraged disordered eating. Currently, Zoe has amassed 130,000 subscribers and over 500,000 followers on Instagram.
It is disordered eating. I'm sorry, tracking your food in, I'm not saying in any capacity, because some people do have to.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say on top of that, like, it is beneficial, I suppose, to certain people. Or it's like an interest that won't develop into anything more sinister. For some people.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, in a society where people are getting more and more eating disorders every day, or just struggling with disordered eating, encouraging people to track, like, I got that new map because I was like, ooh, interested in how it works, because it's like the dieting that you don't need to like worry about.
Yeah.
So I logged into it and it was like, right, so weigh yourself twice a day. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's what I do when I'm in the depths of like an eating disorder. That's not like what you should be encouraging people to do.
Yeah.
And I think the more you encourage people to track the things that they do organically, it'll start to influence how they act. Like it'll just automatically change how you act, because you'll be like, oh, I don't want the Zoe app to tell me I've had a blood sugar spike because I've had a fucking not diet gin and tonic. Do you know what I mean? And it's just these kind of like little decisions that won't actually have like a massive
impact
on you as a person, or on your health, like your literal health. Like, seeing your health as so granular, hour by hour, minute by minute, isn't going to affect you in any positive way.
So the Refinery29 piece says, Zoe via the glucose monitor placed in your arm tracks your blood sugar response to food and drink for 2 weeks. As long as you are honest with her and accurately log everything you consume, which I did. Also, like, not for me, not me, not me pulling out like my A-level psychology because I can't remember it properly. But we literally like looked at a study how basically gambling addicts are more likely to like name the machine, like the fruit machine or whatever. Okay. That they go, because they're personalizing their addiction.
Yeah.
That sounds like this.
Yeah, it's an addiction to any eating disorder is an addiction. Yeah. It's like an addiction to controlling yourself. Yeah. It's all about like self-control in a world where you feel helpless. I think C. Hams put that later in the research, somewhere in this document. But again, like when I read that and she's like, it doesn't just track your blood sugar, you have to log what food you're eating. So how's that different to Weight Watchers? How's that different to my fitness pal that gave woman I know an eating disorder? Like, it's just so, like, they just put this lens on it that it's not about weight loss anymore, it's about health.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same as Ozempic, that we've got to come full circle and fatness is deemed as unhealthy again.
Mm-hmm. So in the Refinery article, it also says, founder Dr. Tim Spector and his creation are now at the center.
Creation? All right, Frankenstein.
And now at the center of talk about personalized nutrition, which is becoming increasingly loud as time goes by. It is, I keep reading, the future of health. Now, having tried it, I think that's a fair assessment. Okay.
Fuck off.
That's literally such a fucking disgusting thing to say for so many reasons. A, I write about this a lot in my book, not to plug, but it's something that, like, I did a lot of substantial research in.
Also, please plug Ioni, it's a really good book.
exactly what you just said, that wellness has replaced kind of, like, beauty standards in being the defining factor of morality. So we view someone as, like, a worthy person if they are healthy or not, which basically leaves chronically ill and disabled people in the dust because they will never be well to society standards. Like, the prime example is, like you with Noom, I was kept getting pushing Zoe. So I was like, oh, I'll fill out the like consultation form at the beginning. And as soon as I said I had Crohn's colitis, it wouldn't let me go any further because these things don't actually help people with real conditions. They're there for like rich people to fucking squander their time away and think they're doing something that helps them.
Yeah, it's such a fucking facade. Like, if you actually had something that required you to track yourself like this, you would know about it and you'd already be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
For you to get involved in that shows that you are healthy enough to be able to act like care about it because you've decided that you care about it.
Also, I have non-hypokalemic something, which is like bad blood sugar regulation without diabetes, and they still don't want me to do it.
Yeah.
So people don't have to do this. Like, it's just a way for us to be sold a lifestyle, and that lifestyle is health.
And that health is just being thin, having control over like what you're eating, what you're putting into your body. It's like given this fucking gravitas when, I don't know, I've always touted, I think in my work and in my book that's coming out, I think that mental health is worth so much more than not physical health, but like I'd rather not have an eating disorder than have one and be thin. Do you know what I mean? Or like be perceived as healthy.
That's true. But then also like there's another side to it of which we are literally changing how we view health and like, which is a very real thing, which now that word even has so many like negative connotations around wellness, around exercise, around these kind of apps, around everything like this. Whereas really like health is such a broad spectrum of people that are disabled, people that are chronically ill, and people that are not, but probably will be one day. Like most people will become chronically ill or disabled at some point in their life, like whether that's just from being old or like whatever, that will happen. And if not, it'll happen to someone you know. But what we're seeing by the press saying that Zoe is the future of health is that we are seeing a future of health that individualizes our health, which seems very irresponsible for journalists to do at the same time in which our NHS is absolutely being like fucked over. Like, I have been acutely in the NHS for my whole adult life. And it was bad 10 years ago, 11 years ago, when I was first admitted to hospital. That's night and day to how it is now. Like, now it's essentially impossible to see a consultant for something you need to see them. Like, my gastroenterology, who I've seen consistently for 10 years, like, I can't get a phone call back from them. And this is all because the government is saying you're responsible for your own health. It's placing, like, this very, what seemingly minor like attitude change into the public, which means that we should feel guilty for seeking help when we need it and that we shouldn't expect public services to fall back on us, which just sets us up for a world in which only rich people can afford to be well. And the Zoe app is £300 a month or something.
Yeah, it's literally just for rich people. Health is only wealth if you have enough if you aren't worrying about money, I think. If you're not worrying about all these other things, like, and you aren't already worrying about your health. Health is wealth.
Wealth is wealth.
Wealth is wealth. And I was, like, thinking about it because we were, like, at the Tate on, was it Friday night?
Yeah.
And we would all talk about self-care and how that's been commodified. And then I was like, self-care has turned into self-help. And then self-help has turned into just fending for yourself.
But then self-help was the thing originally, this was another thing in my book. It's like, we can see through kind of like weird infomercial preachers in the 80s that like have a perm and speak about self-help and like talk about leaning in, but we can't see through like all of this bullshit that's literally being presented to us.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
It's also like not just being made individualistic, but it's saying that like these conditions can be changed by your actions.
Yeah.
It's trying to say like health conditions are, what did I write? I was like, health conditions are largely involuntary.
Yeah.
So it's things like this are trying to frame it that it's not, like you're in control of that.
I mean, that's
and then by framing that and making people who on a granular level be like, oh yeah, I've controlled like my blood sugar spikes when they didn't really have any anyway. That's just how the body works. Mm. They're saying like, yeah, I've gotten control of my health. I've gotten control of my health through this app, through this system. And by saying that, what they're implying is that people who are unwell, who have chronic conditions, who are disabled, aren't in control.
Yeah.
Are out of not out of control,
mm-hmm.
but like aren't look like looking, after, looking themselves. After themselves. Yeah. Yeah. It's like putting the blame on the person.
So there's an article that I referenced like heavily in my book for this called Healthism and the Medicalization of Everyday Life, which was written in the 80s or the 90s. I can't remember, but it kind of really is foreboding, like looking back at it as a, you know, a kind of sign of things to come. And even that, like, you know, academics and people were concerned about this then is nuts to consider that we've just fully like embraced this now. It makes the argument, which I think is like absolutely true, is that people that can, it's basically what you're saying, health enthusiasts who advocate for a healthy lifestyle appear overwhelmingly middle class, while the working class struggles to shorten their work week, abolish child labor, and change working conditions have historically been in part focused on health, and occupational health and safety have also generated a new interest in recent years. Self-care and self-help, like holistic health, are also kaleidoscopic in their approach to health and illness concerns. Unlike holistic health, there is little attention to developing alternative healing methods or new professional healers. But like holistic health, these movements often challenge professional advice. They seek to reduce individuals' reliance on medical practitioners and substitute individual and group activities to improve health, cope with chronic disease, acquire diagnostic and therapeutic skills, and adopt disease prevention practices. Self-care is orientated more towards the transfer of medical competence to the individual.
This reminds me loads of, and obviously like you did read it for your book and you've referenced it in your book, but in your book like you put so much of like the health of the community of the individual relies on like the health of the community, like being able to, it's not just about like equality, it's about equity, like making sure that people get like what they need, like based on like what their actual needs are, rather than be like everyone gets the same. And it kind of reminds me of like the anti-vaccine rhetoric and of like people being like, well, I should be allowed to go out, I should be allowed to do this. And we're seeing ads now on telly being like, you need to go get your kids vaccinated because we're spreading around medieval diseases.
You've got like cholera back or whatever it is.
Literally, because this has become an individual decision. Like, immunization only works as a group tactic. Everyone has to do it. But when people are slowly being like, no, this is my personal choice about my health. Like, I don't want to have that in my body. I don't want to have that immunization. It's only going to affect the people who are the most, like, culpable to being made ill from those things. Like, sure, like, maybe your kid will get measles and they'll get over it, but there might be a kid in their class who doesn't get over it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so fucked, like, that people are turning this into a personal decision when so much of, like, if we're talking about health as a wider system, we need to be healthy for each other, because then we're not making the people who are vulnerable in our society unweller. Unweller?
Unweller.
Unweller.
Yeah, I mean, I think a really good example of this as well is the cervical cancer
jab.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But because I grew up in Brighton, which is like quite a quote unquote liberal place where people have like alternative worldviews, white people have alternative worldviews, I will say. Mm. A lot of people I grew up with, and even a lot of people that I know into adulthood now, haven't been immunized against like loads and loads of things because their parents didn't agree with it. But that cervical cancer vaccine literally stopped cervical cancer. Like, we've literally got a cure for one cancer, and so many people's parents were preventing them getting it. So now we're seeing like kind of the reverse in our generation, which is then adults going and getting vaccines because they missed out on them in childhood. And like, not to be funny, but our parents are probably like way better than millennial and Gen Z parents. Like, they're going to be wacko about not getting vaccines.
Yes.
Not everyone, it's obviously.
It's just going to, like, come... Like, it just shows how, like, circular things are. And I think we touched on this in, like, the last episode. Like, I just always thought there was going to be progress when I was, like, a preteen or, like, a teen. I thought things were always going to move forward. And now we're in, like, that bit with, like, ideals and thoughts on, like, community and different political parties and stuff are all regressing. It feels so horrible to like be being pulled back with the tide.
I just think that people also really need to consider how their individual choices contribute to us like eroding a community care system, because all the while, like, whether you may have a like passing interest in something like Zoe or in something like Ozempic or injectable weight loss drugs or any of these things, it's like all the while we, like me and Gina, and I'm sure loads of other listeners, like, live in cities where air pollution is disgusting, where we have, like, barely any green spaces, where so many people are in social housing that don't have, like, for example, even a balcony to go out on, don't have, like, access to local parks because all of these spaces are being bought up to build more luxury flats on that no one lives in because they're just investment things. And you may not think that that tracks back to you personally just buying something, but by buying into that thought and by, like, giving it weight, you are contributing to us moving towards an more individualist society. Like, you might think, not you, like, I know it sounds like I'm shouting. you might think, like, oh, I won't make a difference in this way. I really care about my community. Like, I do this for my community, I do that. But it actually doesn't mean fucking anything. Like, if it's like the private school argument.
Yeah.
Like, if you would to send your kids to private school, but you claim to be like a left-wing socialist, you're not a fucking socialist.
No, you're not. It's the choice feminism thing that's just, like, fucked us all.
Yeah.
And that's, like, bled in. I think, like, choice feminism had such, like, a moment with, like, body positivity and stuff happening that it bled into, like, all the other people and made them more emboldened and being, like, well, it's less about, like, what everyone needs and it's less about getting on with each other. It's about, like, what I believe and what I think and, like, that's what's right. And it's kind of, like, put these stark differences in our community. And I think it's interesting that you said, like, this doesn't start from huge decisions like choosing to be vaccinated or not. It starts from minor decisions like, as you said, what inspired you to do the podcast episode, collagen banking.
100%. And I think it's easy to feel like, especially I feel as though trust in medical systems are at an all-time low, and that links directly back to like the negligence of governments and people that do like deal with long-term health conditions, chronic illness or disability, or if you're just like a marginalized person in general who has tried to seek medical advice, it doesn't mean that you've always got the best medical advice, because there is so much bias in healthcare in general. But that doesn't mean that science is wrong. Like, there are literally doctors yelling out going, there is no point in using the Zoe app, you are putting your money down the drain.
Yeah,
but people don't care.
Yeah, literally.
Because they're like so obsessed with bettering themselves somehow. Also, why are we so obsessed with becoming like the prime human being? These are the same people that probably scoff at that man that spent like £2 million to look like a ghost. You know the one?
Ghost.
You know that man that spent like $2 million?
I know the Ken doll one.
Yeah, yeah, him. Oh, right, yeah, yeah. He looks like a ghost. He's so great.
Yeah, people are
ghosts. He's great.
He's great.
He's great.
I thought it was interesting as well, because like how much tech has like influenced like our lives at this point, that people want every part of their life to be like technological when health is so like, I don't know. Obviously, like I believe in pharmaceuticals and stuff.
Yeah.
But like tech doesn't need to be utilized in like the way that the Zoe app is putting forward. And then I thought it was interesting because Seaham got up these like old Clinique ads as part of the research. And it part of it was being like, we use computers and tech to like define like what skincare you need, which yeah. is exactly what's happening now. And I thought like it's funny that that's
but they were from like the 70s or yeah. something. Yeah,
it's funny like that beauty outside of health, going back to beauty, that was like the beginning of us getting into this conversation, can be quantifiable by like a computer.
Yeah, 100%. But then it's also kind of goes back to just the origins of beauty, which we discussed in the Cult of Beauty episode, which is that it was pharmaceutical. Like yeah. a lot of the things that we deem skincare now had a pharmaceutical purpose that was then like co-opted for beauty, like obviously not mascara,
yeah,
but like skincare,
yeah, and creams and stuff yeah. like that. Yeah, I agree. But I don't know, there's part of me that's like feeling a bit poetic about being like, why can't we just go back to being like, what's the bit in me goes, which is like, I just want rainbows and have a cupcake and like just see things as beautiful without like worrying about shit.
The thing is, there's like true cause in that we should be able to access like tech interventions for our health, but they need to be free to the people that need them and not only accessible to people that don't need them, that can pay for them.
Yeah, I think it's like we've gotten it so backwards, the way that health is something that has been sold to us as something that you can buy into. And it has actually become that as well for a lot of people. Like if you think of like the privatization of the NHS, the state of the healthcare in America, like it is, we're already at that point and it's just going to get worse.
But the thing is, like, what really annoys me about this situation as well is that most people, like most of the people that are writing about Zoe or doing Zoe or whatever, are people that do not have to be in regular communication with the NHS. Like the NHS really works well as a point of service. So like you break your arm. I mean, A&E obviously has like 20 million hour wait or whatever. But as something that's like, you go in, it gets fixed, you leave. It works brilliantly. It saves people's lives. It does all of these things. But it's like people that have chronic conditions, which is what the subtext of Zoe or other things is saying, like you can prevent disease, which yeah. is an ongoing condition, by using it. It's like that's not true.
It's cruel.
Like there's no way we have access to that. Yeah. And it's cool because it gives people hope, maybe if they are ill. Like for example, me even just doing that questionnaire, it's like, oh well, maybe it could help or whatever. No.
Yeah, just linking it back to the Ozempic as well, like me filling in that app, like if there was this like very simple way to lose weight and fit in with beauty standards, I probably would go for it to some degree, because it would make my life easier in a society that's like privileges the opposite. And I think like recognizing that your decisions are for you to conform, not for you to like be healthy, is worth exploring, like knowing that in your brain. But I don't think like necessarily, like I know that if I lost weight it wouldn't impact my health,
mm-hmm.
it would impact how I'm perceived in society, and that would benefit me in that like way. And that's because of the external sources, not like internal ones.
Yeah. But I also just think like we're being sold all of these lies about like hacking systems. The system is our body. So we're being told we can like hack our food habits through either a Ozempic or a Zoe app. We're being told we can like hack fertility with like egg freezing. We're being told we can hack aging with collagen banking. But all of these things are not true. And also, they're literal scams.
Not that, except for maybe fertility. It's not really. But you know what I mean? Like, it's not that, like, there's other stuff to be focusing on if those aren't priorities for you already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I feel like there's a good point in the research on Jessica Tofino's Substack where it's saying like people want to be able to like smoke and tan, like smoke cigs and tan and like eat food's a bit different, but like smoke cigs and tan, which are like the two main things that cause you to age, but then think if they collagen bank, they won't age.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, no, that's not how it works.
People just want the cheat code to continue living their lives pleasurably.
That's so selfish. Like, it all just comes back to like such an innate selfishness that we don't actually care about health or anything as a society. We just care about how it affects us, which is depressing.
And that's a selfishness that's typical of the upper classes.
Yeah, it's true.
We didn't even get into the collagen bank.
Probably for the best.
Maybe we could do it another time if anyone's interested. Let us know.
Let us know in the comments.
Let us know in the comments. We've just fully just gone off on one about our own passions.
Well, it's useful. People are going to be seeing this stuff more and more and more and more. And like, I feel people that even think they're like staunchly anti-capitalist or like have overcome consumer culture would still buy into this because it like taps into a different part of people's brains that think they're helping themselves, whereas like obviously, you know, a lip gloss doesn't help you
exactly
at this point.
Yeah, but if they said like this lip gloss has got fucking antioxidant microbes in it that when every time you lick your lip it helps your gut, someone would buy into it and be like, well, I'm still anti-capitalist, I just care about my health.
Up next, why vitamins are a scam. This is my second favorite subject.
Should we leave it there then? Final thoughts, closing remarks.
You can't absorb collagen by eating a collagen thing or putting it on your skin because that's not how collagen works. It's also not how vitamin B12 works, so stop taking those vitamins. Some vitamins work and some don't.
I only would like to do a personalised list if you become a platinum XXX member of what vitamins to take.
Or like just actually take the vitamins the doctors tell you to, because anything else is useless.
Yeah, if you can get a fucking doctor's appointment.
Yeah, it's true. All right, thank you, Gina.
Thank you, Ione.
Thank you to Olivia for editing. And to the listeners, we will see you next week.
Love you.
Bye. Bye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right, because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1, only from Rust-Oleum.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.